Bring you greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I have to always marvel at the leading of the Spirit of God. I had a message at home last Sunday on the sanctity of human life, but I felt directed another way this morning. Sounds like you have a topic coming in relation to that. So I do feel led to, by the Spirit of God, to bring what I am this morning, and so I'm glad that we follow the leading of the Spirit and things work out. I have nothing new to share with you this morning, but yet something so profound in our Christian life. That is the subject of wisdom. For a text this morning, you may turn to James chapter 3, and I want to read a few verses there, verses 13 to 18 in chapter 3. The title of my message this morning is Wisdom, Wise or Otherwise. If we fail to obtain the wisdom of God, it's going to be otherwise. We need the wisdom of God in our lives. And how many times do we come to simple things in life and we fail to ask for the wisdom of God because we tell God we've got it all figured out? I believe that even in the simple things of life, we need to ask God for wisdom. Now, there are things that are clear in the Scripture, and we know what needs to be done. But let's, even in the simple decisions of life, seek the wisdom of God to guide us and direct us in all of life. Beginning at verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion of every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, is peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Wisdom. Now, he talks about two different kinds of wisdom in this chapter. He talks about the wisdom of God, and he talks about the wisdom that is from an earthly wisdom, that comes from Satan himself. The word conversation in this verse means behavior. And in these verses, you will find three specific things that we're going to look at in this message regarding wisdom. First of all, I want to consider the value of wisdom, of this godly wisdom. James here places a great value on this wisdom. Are you and I obtaining that wisdom? Do we see the importance of obtaining that wisdom this morning? When looking for leaders in the church, but for a wise man, one that is filled with the wisdom of God, not one that is highly educated, not one that is up in the wisdom of this world, but wisdom is greater than any monetary power. I'm going to turn to a few other scriptures. You may stay in the book of James. I want to just simply turn to the book of Proverbs here a little bit. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain whereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace, are paths of peace. This wisdom that God, that James is talking about here, comes from God and is worth more than anything in the world, and is more important than anything in the world. It's important that we obtain that kind of wisdom. You know, Solomon states that wisdom is greater than riches and wisdom and any power and anything greater than that of the of any monetary power. But James chapter 1, verse 5 talks about if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. How many times do we forget to ask? God says, I want to give it to you, and I want to give you liberally. I want to give you all that you need and more. But we need to continue asking. We need to ask God every day. It's not a once and done question that we ask God. Do we stop and ask God for that wisdom? Wisdom is greater than any military power. You could turn to Ecclesiastes 9, 16 to 18. You know, we need our churches. We need leaders in churches that are filled with wisdom. We need fathers leading homes that are filled with the wisdom of God. Fathers and mothers, we need that today. In the challenges that we face in life, in family life, under the stress and the pressure. I'm sure we all know what it's all about. Do we bow our knees before Almighty God and ask Him for that wisdom to guide our family? What did Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom to guide the people of God. Church leaders, do we ask God for wisdom to guide His people? The Lord said to Solomon that He would give Solomon anything that he asked for. And that was the very thing that he asked for, is that wisdom. What do we ask God for? I believe that we need to ask God for that wisdom to direct our homes and to direct our churches. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. Again, another rich verse out of Proverbs. Chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. We are to get understanding and knowledge, but above all, we are to get wisdom. The Bible links wisdom and knowledge together. In verse 13, wisdom and understanding, wisdom and knowledge are always linked together. Knowledge without wisdom is a very dangerous thing. Man can have a lot of knowledge. I know a man that is, God alone knows his heart. But I don't believe he's a saved man, or hadn't been at least the last I knew. But he has tremendous Bible knowledge. And we can have all the Bible knowledge that we want, but he's not going to see us through without repentance, without that wisdom. If a person has knowledge without wisdom, we tend to become proud of what we have attained. Wisdom is humility. Is humble that we know so little. That's true wisdom. And we want more. And so we keep wanting more. And we keep asking God for more. Knowledge always fails if it is not linked to this godly wisdom. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, is going to give us the ability to apply the knowledge that we have. The Lord Jesus Christ is the heartbeat of this knowledge. Matthew 11:25. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At the end of time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. God reveals the simple and wonderful things to those who know Him and love Him. A wise person will study. A wise person will gain that knowledge. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2:15. Even though we have this wisdom, we must apply our hearts onto studying the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, where he says, very familiar verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We will study. We will apply the words by the wisdom that God gives us, and it will guide our life. You know, there are many who are saved who may have a measure of wisdom, but maybe not understanding and knowledge. We must apply that wisdom so that we can gain that knowledge and so we can gain that understanding. In James chapter 3, verse 1, James here is especially talking to teachers in chapter 3, verse 1. It's not one of the verses we read, but he says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. God wants to give us that wisdom to guide our homes and our churches for his glory. I don't believe you ought to teach a Sunday school class. I don't believe a superintendent should get up front without first asking God, and I don't think a preacher should ever step in the pulpit without asking God to give him wisdom to do what he's called him to do. We need the wisdom of God. Maybe never feel that we've got it all cut out and we know exactly how to handle it, because we need the wisdom of God. And I know this morning it's nothing new, but it's so important in our walk with the Lord. What is the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Knowledge is learned. Knowledge is learned, but wisdom is given. We get knowledge by looking around, and we get wisdom by looking up to our Lord Jesus, to God Himself. We get knowledge by studying. We get wisdom by prayer, asking God to give us that wisdom. In James 1, verse 5, I read that verse earlier. God will show us how to apply our hearts onto wisdom. He has promised that. He will show us how to apply our hearts onto wisdom. Very simple, but yet so profound. The Bible never tells us to pray for knowledge. The Bible tells us to ask for wisdom and study. And in that, we will gain the knowledge. That's the most important thing in life, that we ask for that wisdom. In Psalms chapter 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Remember that. The Lord, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. God will show us, by asking for this wisdom, God will show us how to apply our hearts onto wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. Wisdom deepens through discipleship, and is more important that we have the wisdom that God desires to give us than all the money of the world, than even health and strength. Now, what is the virtue of this wisdom? Again, back to James chapter 3, verse 13. There are two virtues of this wisdom. First of all, it says it is good. It is good. If we have real wisdom this morning, it will show in our lives in a practical goodness. We will do what Jesus done when he walked the face of the earth. We will go about doing good. It is not so much this morning a matter of our minds, how clever we are, but it's a matter of our lives being controlled by Christ himself. James is not interested. God is not interested in how, in all the words that we can speak, but he's interested in our works. Many times in life, what we do speaks so loudly that nobody can hear what we're saying. And that's a true principle to always remember. Secondly, it is gentle. In this verse 13, if we have wisdom, we will show it by a gentle life, with meekness of wisdom. Means with a gentle spirit. If we are arrogant and we call that wisdom is not genuine, but it is false. The Lord came to make us wise. Now the word meekness in James chapter 3:13 means to be level, as I understand it there. To be meek does not mean to think highly of ourselves. It's the opposite of that. But one who is meek in a heart of humility. In James chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, in contrast to the virtues of wisdom, James describes the vices of devilish wisdom. He brings in the opposite here now. And the revelation of devilish wisdom, it is revealed by bitter envyings, he says, and strife in our hearts. If that is what is being revealed from our hearts this morning, then we have a devilish wisdom. And it is not the wisdom of God that is driving us. The phrase in this scripture, bitter envyings and strife, literally means jealousy and selfish ambitions. Do we see that in the world around us? May I challenge you a little closer? Do we see that in the church? The devil likes to have it that way, you know. If we are jealous, if we have jealousy and selfish ambitions, then we're not wise. We do not have the wisdom of God. If we are biting and devouring one another, as the scripture says, then we do not have the wisdom of God within us. This wisdom, according to James, does not come from above, but it comes from the devil himself. And has driven many people apart, has driven many churches apart, has destroyed homes when that kind of wisdom is prevailing in our life. It is earthly, he says. As Christians this morning, our values and the way we look at things are vastly different than that of the world because we have the wisdom of God. It's going to be seen in every area of our life, even in our giving. I had to think about that in the Sunday school lesson this morning. I had a brother call me. He was in another congregation in another state, and he was lamenting the fact that, as far as school boards, many times always needing money. He needs a brother of financial means that has the power to help out in those situations. But how do you feel when you feel like someone else, others in the congregation, have the power to do it, but it doesn't seem to be happening? That's not our place to be judging them But our places, our motives of our heart need to be right. And we need to give in those situations regardless. As Christians, our values and the way we look at things are just vastly different than that of the world. Because our values are heavenly values. Our values are based on eternal things and not on things of this world. Our churches should not be run by the worldly wisdom. Our homes should not be run by worldly wisdom. Fathers, church leaders, mothers need to be asking for the wisdom of God to make wise choices. Young people, youth in our churches, you need to be asking God for wisdom. I hadn't thought about this before, but it comes to my mind right now. Maybe especially young men or even fathers, when we go to make purchases, do we really need it? Many people have wrecked and ruined churches and homes because they resorted to earthly wisdom. James tells us it's essential. It is strictly earthly. The word sensual here literally means soulish or natural. I'm going to turn to one scripture that's nearby here, Jude verse 19, in relation to this thought. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But a person who lives by his senses or natural instincts, this person thinks that this, his common sense, is God-given wisdom. But he doesn't know the difference between true wisdom and common sense. You know, our soul is made up of the mind, the emotion, and the will. The soulish or sensual man operates in the following way, and I want to give you 3 points. His mind says, I think I ought to do this. His emotion says, I feel like doing this. And his will says, I'll do it. Now that goes with the thought that if it makes you feel good, then do it. That is earthly, that is sensual wisdom. It is devilish. And it comes from the devil himself. In James chapter 3, James is warning the church. He's warning church people here. He's not warning those in society. But he's warning people who go to church. May these words be said to us this morning in God's house. If James was talking to church people, this message that James has is for us today. But it is so quickly can result to the earthly wisdom, that which is sensual. What are the results of devilish wisdom in verse 16 of this chapter 3? For where envy and strife is, there is confusion of every evil work. When we try to do the work of God in the energy of our flesh, with this earthly, devilish wisdom, there will be no peace, no joy, no happiness, no victory, and no souls getting saved, but there will be confusion and destruction. Why have some churches fallen apart? It makes one tremble. Are we failing to call on the wisdom of God? Why do some homes fall apart? Why do some marriages fall apart? Are we failing to call on the wisdom of God? Husbands, fathers, church leaders. Now the victory of this wisdom in James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, the divine wisdom, if we have the wisdom from above, it's going to overcome sin. We see that in verse 17. He's going to overcome sin. Wisdom that is from above is pure, it says. This type of wisdom will deal with sin. It will show you that sin is senseless, and you will want to be pure in the sight of a holy God. And that's the only way we're going to be accepted in eternity. It will show you that sin is senseless. Impurity is not wise. Secondly, wisdom also overcomes strife. It says, if it's from above, it's going to be peaceful. It's going to be peaceable. There are some who claim to be wise, but they use the Bible in a wrong way because they're dealing with the earthly wisdom, and they try to use the Bible to justify themselves. But true wisdom is peaceful. That which is from above. When we deal with someone and we aren't filled with the wisdom of God, it's always a failure. Whether it be a father with a child, or whether it be a church leader with a member. We need the wisdom of God. Wisdom overcomes stubbornness, that verse tells us. In verse 17, it says it's gentle and it's easy to be entreated. A wise man has convictions, but his convictions are about the Word of God, are based on the Scriptures. The word for gentle is a combination of two words, which means into and fitting. It means the ability to fit into, to adopt, and to be gentle in things that don't really make a difference. Wisdom overcomes selfishness. It is full of mercy and good fruits. Wisdom is not always thinking of itself, but it is thinking of others. It is merciful. There is no life so empty as a self-centered life. And there is no life so centered as a self-emptied life. You get that? The next point you see in verse 17 is that this wisdom overcomes, I call it snobbiness. Wisdom is without partiality. This true wisdom overcomes being partial. Maybe is a better way to say it. Real wisdom does not look down on some people while paying special attention to others, but it is without partiality. Now we know the human tendency is to maybe show favoritism. Maybe that's a temptation in homes sometimes. As parents, we cannot afford to do that. A wise person understands that everyone is someone for whom Jesus died. That's the wisdom of God. That someone, everyone is someone for whom Jesus died. Is that how we view people? And the next point that we see in verse 17, that wisdom will overcome shame. Wisdom is without hypocrisy. With hypocrisy will create difficulty. The results of victory of wisdom is peace. A wise man is a peacemaker and not a pieces maker. I'm known of an old justice of the peace who said he was always a justice of the pieces. We need to be those of peace, those who make peace. Sometimes it may be willing to, we must be willing to take wrong sometimes, to be misunderstood many times. The result of the victory of wisdom is peace. In verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And remember that. We are to make peace and not pieces. What are you willing to sacrifice sometimes to keep peace? The war is over, and wisdom has won the peace. Now, we don't keep peace at the expense of allowing sin. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But many times, we must sacrifice our own thinking for the sake of peace. I trust this morning, and in conclusion, we cannot know wisdom, we cannot know this true wisdom, without knowing the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, without knowing the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord of your life, you cannot know this wisdom. So this morning I challenge all of you. Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he Lord of your life? Well, you say he is your Savior, yes. But is he Lord of your life, and is he controlling your life? Are you allowing him to guide your life? If you are not obtaining the wisdom of God this morning, call upon him, and he is there liberally to give you that wisdom. Shall we pray?